Good evening.
As it has been our habit this week, we're going to start by reading a passage before we get into the text itself. Tonight we want to start in Genesis chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 11, starting verse 1 all the way through verse 9. The text read, "Now the whole earth used the same language in the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a town whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. The Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people. They all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from here over the face of the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth." Again, I want to remind you all that we are talking this week about this theme that has to do with developing Christian virtues. We have been addressing some of the most basic elements of Christianity. And we've said that those basic elements will help us best represent our God and best represent Christianity in general. Last night, we looked at the theme or the concept of forgiveness. And we talked about how God wants all of His people to demonstrate these wonderful qualities in their life. The ability for us to be able to forgive people no matter how wrong we may have been. The ability that we need to forgive people just simply because the God that we serve is always ready and is always willing to forgive us. We have been created, we have said, in the image of God. And the Bible clearly says that. And God wants us to reflect that. And what is interesting about the people whom God has created in His image is that we have not only been created in God's likeness, but we have also been created as interpersonal beings. If you remember in Genesis chapter 2, after God had created Adam, the text says, I believe in verse 18, basically God is speaking here, and this is what God says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It is not good for man to be alone. And God, consequently God says, I will make for him a helper suitable for him. God realizes at that time, he realizes then that man was not created to live by himself. He was not created to be alone. He was created as an interpersonal being. He was created as a being that was meant to have and meant to involve in relationships. But one thing that we want to underline tonight is that relationships are sustained. Relationships are maintained only through meaningful communication. For instance, if we as God's people are not engaged with the Bible, if we as God's people we don't know what the Bible teaches, if we are God's people, we don't take time to pray and express to God the desires of our hearts, and we don't pray to Him and tell Him what our needs are, there'd be no way that we're going to be able to have this relationship with Him. And I think the same goes for Christians. We have learned Sunday that we need to separate our old self from the new self. Let's say we all do that. Let's say that we all understand the importance of knowing God's love and His forgiveness and His compassion. But it would be impossible for us to really represent God if we cannot put those things to practice. Relationships are built on communication, and communication that are meaningful to all people. Simple example. We all understand that if two people are speaking the same words, but they understand those words with different meanings and with different contexts, then we all know that somehow, sometime, soon or later, that relationship will be strained. In other words, if there is a breakdown in communication, naturally there's going to be a breakdown in relationships. And if indeed communication is necessary for good relationship, how do we engage in this important element? We want to keep the lesson very simple tonight and hopefully short, but to the point. We got two simple points. Effective communication happens when we understand that there are always two sides of a story. And then our second point would be, our action speaks much louder than our words. And if we do those things effectively, guess what? We're paving the way for effective communication, and we are building strong, healthy relationships. And we're going to try to get some few practical examples to illustrate those points. Before we get there, though, I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, the text tells us that the people had decided to build a city. The city that's going to go up to the heavens. And the text also tells us that the people spoke one language, and that one language was understood by everybody. And because of that, they had one purpose of mind. And the work that they were doing became so easy. Now God says, if I don't choose to intervene in what's going on, then nothing will be impossible for those people. You know why? Because when somebody says, give me a hammer, give me some nails, give me the spade, they understood exactly what that word meant. And that made that project very easy to be undertaken. But God said in verse 6, behold, they are one people, and they all speak the same language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing which their purpose of doing would be impossible. So what God decided to do is to confound their language, to confuse their speech. And when you saw that the language that one person was speaking was not understood by somebody else, that affected consequently their relationships. And as a result of that, the people scattered over all the earth. Okay? And this is what we want to paint. This is the picture we want to paint tonight. That if there is a breakdown in effective communication among brethren, among husband and wives, among parents and children, then naturally that is going to affect our relationship with one another. Okay? This is the only point we want to make tonight. There are always two sides of a story. Okay? There are always two sides of a story. Communication is a two-way street. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, there is a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. And the reason we want to do this, the reason we want to understand that communication goes both ways is this. It's because at one time there is a listener, and at the same time there is one who is speaking. And if we want to establish good communication, when somebody's speaking, naturally we know that the other person needs to listen. And after the person has spoken his piece, we naturally expect that the speaker becomes the listener, and the listener now becomes the speaker. And if we establish that, or if we establish that in our relationship, then we know that we're paving the way for good, healthy communication. And as a result of strong relationships. Many times, we don't allow that to happen. And that is where there's problems. Let me give a simple example. Jesse said in his prayer that, Lord, help us to be able to use the gospel and go out into the world to teach those who are lost. Now, the Bible paints the gospel as light. It is the light that came to enlighten those who are in the darkness. Now, if I tell myself that that's what I want to happen, but I refuse to take that light and bring it where the darkness is, guess what's going to happen? The darkness will never be enlightened. If I refuse to go join those who are in the world and try to establish a relationship with them while I communicate to them the message of the gospel, there is no way anyone in the world is going to be saved. Moreover, when we try to study with people, it seems sometimes we are so strong in telling them what the truth is, but we don't want to hear what they have to say. We don't want to entertain their questions. This is what the Bible says, and you better accept it or leave it. Folks, it's not one way. Sometimes, as Paul says, we have to become like them. Understand from their point of view how they see the Bible, how they understand God. And then reason with them from that point on. But if we try to impose the truth upon them and have them listen to us, and we're not willing to listen to them, it can be a breakdown somewhere. Another point. I'd like for you to come to services on Sunday. Just to check us out. And let's say that person is saving up days. Well, he goes to services on Saturday. And he asks you to come to services with him. Oh, I can't do that. There's no way. Folks, there's going to be a breakdown in our relationship. There's not going to be any relationship. This communication is already broken down. And we see when we apply this simple principle, what we're doing, we're opening doors by telling someone that I am willing to be a listener after I'm done speaking. Now it's your turn. We understand that it's a two-way street. And as much as we do that, we create trust, there's openness, there's frankness, and then slowly there's that bond that is established. Proverbs 18 verse 17 is an interesting text there that says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. And we all understand this. In the judicial system, would it be fair if the defense heard only the prosecution make that case, but yet the defense is not given a chance to plead his case himself? Would it be fair if somebody is put on the witness stand for the prosecution and basically gives incriminating evidence against the defense, but yet the defense is not allowed to counter or cross-examine the prosecution's witness? It would not be fair at all. And we all understand that. That you've said your piece, now it's my turn to cross-examine and say my piece. And let us all be willing to listen, and let's all be willing to communicate that. Most relationships are affected among people because maybe sometimes we've heard some rumors about brother so-and-so. Maybe sometimes we've heard some news about sister so-and-so. And instead of giving that person the benefit, as we said yesterday, of the doubt, we just run wild with the story. Well, have you gone to Sister So-and-so to verify the story? Have you gone to Brother So-and-so to make sure that what you've heard is accurate? Maybe there's some misunderstanding somewhere. Maybe things were taken out of context. Let your speech, Paul says, always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know what you should respond to each person. Everything that is taken out of its context and removed from its intended meaning is subjected to all kinds of interpretation. And every single interpretation will be believable if you hear just one side of the story. Hold your judgment until you are able to give a fair hearing. And it is important for us to be considerate, kind, and gentle while we speak and communicate to other people. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Folks, many times we are so quick to respond to what someone else has said, or what we think we know what someone else has said, before we assimilate the message for ourselves. Listen to what Proverbs 20 verse 5 says: a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. To listen to someone is not simply hearing the words, he says, but it is to understand the meaning of the words that that person is speaking with. Understanding a person does not necessarily mean that we are in total agreement with that person, but rather it means that we are giving that person a chance to express he or herself. It means that we try to understand the situation the way we're supposed to. I simply want to give you a simple example. One of our biggest pitfalls is assumption. To assume that we know what so-and-so is saying while we communicate. Practical example. My wife will say, "Honey, you have not been sweet lately." Are you kidding me? I mean, last month, I remember exactly where I was at when I wrote you this sweet card and bought you the flowers and all of the stuff that I've done. You are telling me I'm not sweet? Actually, today I spent all the time doing the dishes. I even made my own bed. I am not sweet? I jumped the gun. I get defensive without trying to entertain from what point of view she's coming from. What do you mean by me not being sweet? What do you want me to say or to do that maybe you're expecting from me? And once we do that and giving her a chance to express herself, guess what? It's, oh, okay, I guess I've been lacking on that lately. Then you understand what's going on. And as a result of that, it builds that relationship. But if I would get on her case every time she expresses that, guess what? She becomes defensive, she keeps to herself, and resentment builds up. And the more she feels intimidated, the more she feels she has nothing to contribute in this relationship, the further apart we are drawn. And it's going to take one thing at one time to just break the whole thing loose. And that's what we all need to understand. And I think we all understand that issue in our own lives. Assumption always gets us in trouble. And I think the rule of thumb is to simply apply this principle that we find in the gospel. We call it the golden rule. In Luke 6 verse 31 says, treat others the exact same way you want them to treat you. Folks, that's pretty profound. And that eliminates all kind of trouble if we apply that rule treat others the same way you want to be treated. Before we overreact, before we blow things out of proportion, give the person the benefit. Give the person an opportunity to relay his or her message. James says in James chapter 1, verse 19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, "There is more hope for a fool than for him." In any given situation, let us learn that there is always two sides of one story, and we need to nurture the ability to give other people the benefit of the doubt. Plain and simple, but once that rule is applied, I think it does much good. There's also a point we want to make is action speaks much louder than words. Our action speaks much louder than words. In James chapter 2, we want to read a couple of verses in that chapter, verses 15 and 16. In James chapter 2, we're going to read verses 15 and 16. And this is what James says. "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that?" James says that, folks, what if every Sunday we have this whole list of all those who are sick, of all the shut-ins, and all the people we need to pray for, but then when it comes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, and all those days, they hear nothing from us. We never try to ask them what they need. We never try to see how much we can help them during the week, but yet, we're praying for you. I got you in my thoughts, in my prayers. How would they know that we're so concerned with them? It is by communicating this in a meaningful way by the things that we do. Sometimes we don't even have to say a word. Simply by the things that we do. Speaks much louder than those words. It has been said that men are experts at the grunting language. Men are experts at the grunting language. "How's your day?" "All right." "You have some food?" "Mm-hmm." "Whatever." And after a while, the wife just stands there with this puzzled look on her face and asking, "What in the world is going on?" And she slowly gets frustrated, and you know what he says? "Get over it! Everything is fine." Well, to her, it's not fine because she doesn't understand the "huh-huh" that you've said. Now, what she wants you to do is communicate that in a language that is meaningful to her. And slowly, when you do that, you'll find that she's going to be a happy camper. She's going to feel that she is appreciated. She's going to feel that, you know, he cares about my thoughts and my feelings. And on the other side, it seems that women, they have this tendency to assume that the men need to know what's on their mind. "Well, do I need to tell you everything?" "Well, yeah, I can't read minds." "Got all upset? What? You should have done this already." "Well, honey, you've not told me yet." "I don't know that until you tell me and express to me exactly what you want me to say, what you want me to do, and what you would like." And the more we do that, guess what, folks? It takes away the potential for problems. And it creates this incredible communication. And as a result, you slowly establish these wonderful relationships. When I was in St. Charles few years ago, there was this lady I knew, and I heard that she's been divorced from her husband. And I asked her why they were divorced, and she said, "We were divorced over a rat." What? It didn't make sense to me. She's like, "Well, my husband one day came home. He came home and was upset at me because there was this rat that was running around the kitchen, and I did not kill the rat, and I was afraid of the rat. And he got all over me because I did not kill the rat. And so I got upset and I reacted to his reaction. And then last week's conversation that was not done yet, last week's fight which was not done yet, basically came back. And the thing that I was upset with last month actually came back to the point where all this thing that had been sitting down in my heart, the resentment, the upset, the things that I've not been able to communicate with him just spill out. And we got divorced over that. You mean you've had all these things in your head, in your heart, for 2 or 5 years, and you've not expressed that to me? She says, "You've not given me a chance to do that. It's always what you think, what you want, and period." And basically, I told her that was the rat that broke the camel's back. It was not the rat that made them divorced. It was all this resentment that's been built up because she's never had a chance to express that to him. Every time she says, "Honey, I want to talk," he says, "I'm tired, I don't have time." Communication was just one way. And the way he acted, his action never said to her, never expressed to her that he really loved her the way he said so. And that affected their relationship. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out, Proverbs 17 verse 14 says. Folks, simply we want to say this. If you all are at difference with a member in the church for something he or she has said or done, if you are at difference with a co-worker or the family member, your spouse, your child, or a friend, don't go and tell everybody else about it. Don't go down to Tampa Tribune and have them publish it on the front page of the paper. Go directly to that person and express that in a way where that person will understand it. Because the more it seems that we prolong small little things that we can address, the bigger it gets. And the worse it becomes. And after a while, we will be compelled to go to our friends and try to influence them with our assumption of what so-and-so is or is not, and have them believe our side of the story. Effective communication demands that we go straight to the person and discuss those things. An interesting text is found in Matthew chapter 5. And let me see the verses here. Matthew 5, verse 23 through 25. Let's read those couple of verses there. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 23 through 25. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before you go to the altar. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. I want you to pick up a song book, please.
Like we said, folks, we want to keep it real simple tonight. But this is the point that Jesus, I think, is trying to make. Maybe sometimes, right before you come to services on Sunday morning, you guys have got an argument.
week before Sunday, a brother and a sister had fallen out. Jesus says, please, before you get up on Sunday morning to come to services, make sure you go to your brother. If that implies you're going to miss half the service on Sunday morning, you may miss the Bible class, go and make things right first before you come worship God and offer the offerings and the offerings. Because otherwise, it will be absolutely meaningless. Rather be reconciled than come here and sit pretty and act like we're praying God, praying to God and worship Him when everything is absolutely meaningless. And by doing that, we're not only saving your brother, we're restoring your relationship and paving the way for effective communication. Tomorrow, we simply want to talk about the idea of examining our own selves. And the reason we want to do this is because it seems that there is a lot of time, or there are a lot of times, where we are afraid to tell our brothers and sisters about what we're struggling with. Everybody seems to want to be perfect. Everybody seems to want to portray that everything is fine, but yet deep inside we're struggling. And the reason we feel that way is because we can't even trust our own brothers and sisters in Christ. We are afraid of what's going to happen once they know what's going on in our lives. So we keep it to ourselves. And we just give the appearance that everything is fine. That's because there's not good communication among us. That's because there's no trust. That's because our relationship is not what it's supposed to be. Jesus tonight is communicating His love, His compassion, His forgiveness, His mercy to anyone of you here tonight who is not a Christian. He said, I already know what's going on in your life. You don't have to pretend that everything's fine. Come to me as you are and allow me to change, shape you, and mold you into the person that I want you to become. Realize that without Him, it's impossible to find true meaning in life. Realize that without Him, it's impossible to have the true hope and peace. Subject your whole life to God, repent from all your sins, confess His name, and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be dedicated, communicate to God all the desires of your heart, and to communicate to one another what it means to be true Christians by living, by establishing relationships, by being there. So the things that we say, the things that we know, will be tangible to them, will be seen. That's the message tonight. Be good communicators. And as a result of that, we will have good relationships. Let's have a simple.